Get ready. You're about to enter the Remzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the one, the only Remzo Republic podcast, a great place for great conversations. And today we're going to talk about liberty. Well, then again, every week we talk about that. Welcome back, old and new listeners alike. It's great to have you here. Season 2 has been such a blast so far. We cannot do any of this without you. And, you guys take the effort to share the show. You comment on the secret fan group, the Remzo Republic Nation. You guys donate when I need you to help me get gas in the car to go travel. You guys help send a few bucks here and there when equipment breaks, like a couple weeks ago when I broke the tripod for the live streams we do. I mean, you guys, I want to say I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful. And, in case you think I ever get a little bit spoiled, I'm recording this interview so freaking early in the morning. I woke up. Okay, I had my alarm clock set for an hour before it was supposed to start. And, life would get in the way, and I'd wake up about 15 minutes before it starts. And I come down, and I get everything on, and I've got to wake up my guest, and he's already set. And I'm like, oh, crap, now I'm falling behind. And now we got to get all this stuff set up, and now I've got to work with the replacement mic because the other one just broke on us. And, it's a lot of crazy behind-the-scenes stuff, and I don't even think... Like, right now, I don't even think producer Ryan's awake. And if I did try and wake him up to go fix something, he'd probably just, like, sucker punch me. But I'm here with my dog, and, she's asleep right now, and everything's good. But, it's not too early for a conversation about something that's been kind of, irking me lately. You know, when I left the Libertarian Party, I was leaving essentially one giant, like, spousal abuse situation for another of the Republican Party. I thought, maybe as long as I keep my mouth shut and I think I need to do the things I need to do, things will be better. But it's not. I've just traded one situation for another, and I'm really doubting a lot of my life's decisions at this point. Mainly because, when you're stuck between a dude with a Make America Great Again hat and a guy that calls himself a neo-Confederate, things typically just don't work out very well. And I want to go ahead and bring on our guest today to kind of, talk about this strange new world we're entering when it comes to right-wing politics. You've seen them probably over at the Libertarian Republic. You definitely have seen them over at beinglibertarian.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Micah J. Fleck. Micah, welcome to the program.
Hey, Remzo. Thanks for having me.
Okay, man. So I've talked about this so often in the past, but I want to kind of bring it up now with kind of a different twist. Is the alt-right a fad? Or is it permanent?
Well, I would say it would depend largely on what the person in particular means by alt-right. I've actually spoken to a few people who I would not consider to be alt-right, who seem to think that the label is not as locked in as other people seem to think it is, and they don't mind being associated with it. I personally go with the evidence, which seems to be that people such as Richard Spencer, the white nationalist types, have taken credit for, being behind the movement. I don't know. I think the sentiment of that in particular has been brewing in the corners for a while. And, rightly or wrongly, this newest election cycle has sort of given confidence to these people who have always been there, but have sort of been on the fringes for a long time. So they feel more validated and more relevant, I think, in speaking up and being bolder about what their positions are and what they represent. So whether or not the philosophy itself is a fad, I think it will always probably be a fringe element of American politics. But I think what we're seeing right now is this emergence of, a kind of newfound rebirth in terms of the rhetoric being more commonplace at the moment. And the current title that it's taking on is alt-right. I don't know whether that will last, and I don't know how long the outspokenness will be a thing. But I think that the philosophies and ideas themselves, they've already kind of reached the point in this political climate, in this day and age, where they will probably never become mainstream. So I guess in that sense, yes, it is kind of a fad. But it's always been there. It's just taken different forms.
Okay. You brought up something a moment ago, which is so incredibly important. And I think what we need to do now is just define the terms. So for somebody that's just coming into this, when they ask, what is the alt-right, how would you properly define it?
I would define it as a anti-political populist movement defined primarily by isolationism and white nationalism identity.
Okay. And, you know, with this, I do agree with you to a large degree that this is, you know, kind of a fad, but it seems like people are taking this and they're just kind of running with it. When I was at ISFLC, you know, Richard Spencer shows up, people lose their mind. But, you know, I was at CPAC, and next thing you know, I see dudes shaking his hand and telling him that, you know, he's their idol and all this other stuff.
Right.
So is this, you know, and I know we're talking very vaguely when I just bring up the left-right political spectrum, but is this something just specifically kind of tied to the right wing of our political spectrum, if we're just talking that whole left-right paradigm, or is it something that can kind of, you know, switch between one side or another, just depending on the given circumstances?
I think the extremism is not necessarily exclusive to one side or the other, but I think the particular form that the extremism takes in the form of this self-identifying as sort of being the hip new alternative right perspective, as the title sort of implies, is definitely something that seems to only really be capable of surviving right now on the right wing, just because of where the political pendulum has currently swung today. Most extremists that you'll see on the left are more going to be completely like what they consider to be completely anti alt-right or anti what they would call fascist. Some of their tactics can be just as extreme and just as scary in ways, along with their rhetoric. But again, it's in terms of the alt-right itself and the identity that they have sort of taken up for themselves, it's very much a right-wing thing.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Micah, I want to keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. You're listening to the Remser Republic, and we'll be back right after this commercial break.
The voice of the Liberty Generation, Remso W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remser Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
Them yelling at me
at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to visit LibertarianWingMedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our Libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We've got Micah Fleck joining us today. I kind of want to pivot on our earlier conversation, Micah, and I kind of just want to throw this at you because this is the, you know, this is the obvious elephant in the room. But is the alt-right racist?
I would say people like Richard Spencer, the self-identified leaders, spokesmen, you know, largely for the movement, I would say yes. I don't even know if people like Richard Spencer would deny that fact. The main difference is that in an attempt to make it a little bit more mainstream than what you might expect, you know, Spencer himself has used rhetoric and talking points that sort of amount to, you know, I mean, we're going back to, you know, almost Jim Crow kind of rhetoric, but it's talking about, you know, almost separate but equal kind of ideas, except with him, the idea is he wants whole communities to be separate but equal. So, you know, in his mind, there is nothing wrong with voluntarily disassociating from each other in terms of racial communities, which he sees as being tethered or at the very least coterminous with cultural identity. And so for him, whiteness is its own cultural identity that therefore, you know, if it weren't for, you know, forced integration by government forces and such, he seems to believe that they would not naturally commingle with each other anyway. And so for him, it's he claims it as a very humanitarian kind of idea. But I mean, if you get right down to the nitty gritty, he wants the races to be more or less separate.
Yeah, that's the really odd thing about this whole movement. And I've seen so many people that, you know, call themselves libertarians, call themselves conservatives, really kind of jump onto this whole thing. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was essentially like, you know, we're just sitting in the car and we're discussing this. And I'm really, you never know who's part of the alt-right these days, and they get triggered extremely easily. But we're talking about free trade. And he's like, yeah, you know, free trade is good. We need goods and services to transcend borders. But, you know, what does that mean if a Mexican is going to come and rape your wife? And I looked at him and I'm like, what the hell? And it's so weird. He's using a term called identitarian. And it's essentially what you said. You know, the races would do better if they were separated and, you know, they're just by themselves. But, you know, I've been in a hot crammed elevator full of white people together, and they didn't instantly get along. So, just in that instance, I don't get where he's coming from with this. But it does bode the next question. Why do you think libertarians specifically, because this is the one that just really bothers me, why do you think they're so infatuated with the alt-right? I mean, they're using their rhetoric, they're using the term cuck and globalist, and they're talking about, you know, racial politics as if it's just a newfound thing. And it's so awkwardly uncomfortable. And even, you know, certain publications like the Liberty Conservative, they have some great writers, and we've had, you know, Gavin Wax and Joel Curtinitis on. I wouldn't never put them in that category, but for the most part, they've allowed a different breed of staff to come in and really say that the alt-right isn't just good, it's necessary. And you've seen this with so many other publications as well. Why do you think this, you know, this awkward love affair has been allowed to come about?
Right. Wow. That's a good question. So first, I guess we should, I mean, I'm sure you agree with this, but we should just, for listeners' sake, make sure that neither of us think that all libertarians feel this way.
Of course.
And it's probably, you know, again, libertarianism is in a really unique position to where it has elements of both what you typically see considered as left and right political stances. It just depends on what the issues being discussed involve. And so I would say, again, kind of like what you see on the broader political spectrum, you're going to see more on the right the right side of things and the more fringe side of things where libertarians are agreeing with this stuff. So, you know, you're going to love, you know, what I call conservatory, maybe not conservatarians in the traditional sense, because we have a lot of those at Libertarian Republic who would never associate with the alt-right, but, you know, more right-wing conservatarians and also more right-wing anarcho-capitalist types, you know, people who really kind of exist on the fringes of the debates, and they don't really budge much. They have very, you know, purist ideals. It's typically those types of libertarians. And I think some of the appeal for them, you know, only assuming that they are still good people who mean well, right? I mean, I don't know the hearts of all of these folks, but I think the initial attraction likely comes from the idea that, you know, freedom of association is a really big deal. And also there's an entire band of libertarians who feel that, you know, closed borders is likely better than open borders for certain reasons. I obviously disagree with those particular positions, but it's not unlibertarian natively to hold them. It's just one of many, you know, positions that you can hold across the spectrum of what libertarian thought allows for. And so I think for those types, they're attracted to the idea that, you know, people are standing up to authority figures and they are saying, you know, that freedom of association is sort of a thing that should at least be talked about. And I think more broader speaking, that's sort of an appeal in general to more conservative types, I think, not just to the alt-right, but any kind of group that sort of rabble-rouses, because I think that they feel that for a long time the left has sort of stifled debate and dissenting opinion. And I think sometimes, perhaps, even people who might mean well initially are giving way too much credit and way too much room for people like those in the alt-right movement to speak, simply because they don't want to be, you know, the quote-unquote fascist leftist. They don't want to be that person who shuts down the dissenting viewpoints.
Definitely. And, you know, I do kind of have a follow-up to this. For many conservatives, reluctantly, they voted for Donald Trump as soon as Hillary Clinton let out that, you know, we're dealing with a basket of deplorables thing. In terms of the libertarians, you know, and not, you know, not all of them, but a good chunk of them falling into the arms of the alt-right, do you think the Gary Johnson bake the cake situation had anything to do with that?
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's sad that it's almost a year and we're still talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the types of people that we're discussing, they don't let much go, do they? So really, it doesn't surprise me, but it is amusing. Sure. I mean, I think that's definitely a thing. If you look on all of the social communities online, if you talk to people in the movement who, you know, there's definitely kind of a bad taste that was left in some people's mouths from what they considered to be far too left-leaning social related rhetoric that Gary Johnson exuded. In my opinion, I still think that Gary Johnson was obviously by far the most reasonable choice of all the candidates, but that's my bias, of course. But even so, I think you're seeing that at a larger level, you know, scale too. Like some of the more, you know, conservative types who voted for Trump maybe wouldn't have otherwise if the left hadn't been so seemingly extreme in terms of their virtue signaling and such. And I think some of that's, you know, also happening in the libertarian movement. Again, you know, the more left-leaning side versus the more right-leaning side. Even the centrists sometimes who sided with Johnson are now being called liberals and secret Democrats by some of these folks in the liberty movement who are more on the right.
Definitely. And I want to touch on something you brought up a little earlier, because I think it's really relevant to what we're talking about now. You know, you brought up the Antifa, and, you know, they're unhinged at this point. And in terms of just, you know, where we're really seeing people take the side of the alt-right, and people that you know, they're individuals that typically would have never wanted to be associated with this, it comes down to the current fight for free speech on college campuses. And it seems that regardless of the worldview of these leading forces, it's essentially come down, at the end of the day, to the alt-right and the Antifa. And regardless of whether or not you have a problem with one side or another, it seems that when discussing the issue of free speech, which seems to be the cultural forefront where this is really showing itself, you have to pick the side of one or the other. And I've essentially said no, because that's stupid binary thinking, and both sides are just losing the main point. Do you kind of agree with that or disagree with that?
I do agree with it with the most point. I mean, this is something that I bring up, you know, a lot, and I trigger people sometimes when I do it. But historically speaking and philosophically speaking, one does have to come to grips with the idea, the very real idea that, leftist extremists, like those found in groups like Antifa and, you know, anarcho-communism, they're coming from a more noble place philosophically. I mean, that's just the truth of it. You know, if you want to judge it simply on the merits of what they're trying to do or what they believe in, there's a little bit more, maybe even a lot more nobility to be found on the left in this particular debate. My problem with Antifa and groups like them is not per se the fact that they want to fight against what they see as fascism. The fact that they want to fight against not Nazis or the alt-right. That's obviously not my problem. My problem is the tactics specifically that are being used. And I think this is, again, it's an extension of simply what we saw during the, you know, the less extreme left-right paradigm that was going on during the election. You know, it's like both sides, the mainstream candidates, you know, Clinton and Trump, the mainstream candidates that we chose in the primaries and then ultimately for the main election, they both used quite extreme rhetoric, like more than even I anticipated. Like you brought up the whole basket of deplorables comment, you know, where there was this broad brush being used by Hillary Clinton to basically chastise and shame, you know, the entire, you know, voting bloc of Donald Trump supporters. And it's like when you get this extreme and you use this broad of a brush and you have hateful rhetoric being used to describe, you know, those over there, those other people that you don't agree with, it's only going to lead to more pushback. It's only going to lead to more fragmentation and dissent. And I think the same thing is happening now. It's just more extreme versions of it. You know, the more that Antifa uses violence and intimidation to, you know, as you know, tools in their toolbox, the less and less the reasonable people in the middle are going to listen to them, and more justification, you know, right or wrong, people on the extreme right are going to have. They're going to point at the tactics of Antifa and say, look, see, we told you, they're all just a bunch of violent extremists. And that's just going to push the rift even more, and I worry that things are going to continue to get worse before they get better.
Yeah, Micah, we're going to continue this conversation, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our final commercial break. Folks, hang on tight, and we'll be back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back for our final segment. We're going to kind of, you know, tie everything together and come to a cleaner closing at this point. Micah, you know, I'm in Virginia right now, and we have another election coming up. And it happened like the day after the general election. It was absolutely terrible. I wanted to cry a lot. And for the most part, you know, a lot of people, they just don't want to think about the next election. You know, the worst thing about 2016 is I think a lot of friendships were used as collateral damage for politics. And I think for the most part, I mean, I was driving back from D.C. recently, and my Uber driver saw, you know, Scott Walker lapel pin I had. And he just wanted to have a conversation about, you know, why I vote the way I do, where I'm coming from, the things. And we had a, you know, he voted for Hillary Clinton. We had a beautiful conversation. It was just the two of us, just, you know, he was driving, I was riding back. It was about an hour and a half we had to go. And, you know, the biggest thing we came out of this with was, you know, both the candidates represented just two very ugly sides of American politics right now. And far too many people that were really drawn into this, they woke up on November 9th and they were like, wow, I need to truly reflect on what's just happened. In terms of things right. going forward, I mean, it's obvious. Donald Trump has changed the game forever. Do you see things getting better or getting worse? Because whether it's, you know, people basically setting up churches for based stick man or whatever they're calling the stick dude, or saying that, you know, free speech is hate speech. You know, you've already said at the very beginning that you think the alt-right is a fad, but do you think this level of ridiculousness and, you know, erosion of civil discourse is getting better or getting worse?
Well, yeah, I guess I should clarify. I do think that the alt-right, in terms of the label and the particular branding that they're using at the moment, is kind of like a fad. But again, I think that certain people have always felt this way. Okay. The fact that more people are feeling this way to the point where it can become a movement of its own is concerning. And I think, again, it's just like with the extremists on the left as well. I feel like both extremes are becoming more and more prominent now because we have allowed the erosion that you're talking about to continue without really taking it seriously, without really examining how do we outthink it? How do we become better than it? You know, we've kind of gotten down in the mud with each other for so long now that it's become par for the course, really. I think people just expect politics to be ugly, and I think people expect more and more extreme rifts to happen. And I think as long as people continue to play into that, into this paranoia of each other, into this true belief that it's us versus them, that it's left versus right, rather than, you know, authority versus liberty, for instance. I think the more and more people continue to believe that, and the more populist and extremist the representatives through the candidates and so forth become, I do think that we are going to have to see things come to a head in one way or another. I hope that things get better soon, but, you know, the evidence suggests that, you know, more and more people are going to lose their minds before that happens. I think in the end things will get better because they inevitably do with human progress. But I think we're at the cusp of something that we really can't fully anticipate yet.
Yeah, my biggest worry is that we're going to see like Richard Spencer 2020 or something.
don't scare me like that.
it is sad if you think about it, because during the 2016 general election, I had Terry Kibbe on from Free the People Alternative PAC, and what she mentioned was that, you know, it's sad because I find myself backing the moderate in this race. Right. And to ever consider the Libertarian Party as the moderate party, it's really... Yeah, it's kind of sad. You know, just ignoring the Libertarian Party specifically, that's where things have come to. You know, I don't like to use the left-right political spectrum often because it's a flawed, you know, paradigm. But, you know, there are many people that still think like that. But even now, when you look at, you know, the Nolan chart, and for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it's basically like a diamond-shaped chart, and depending on where you land in terms of both personal freedom and economic liberty, it tells you whether or not you're more of a conservative libertarian, a progressive, or a statist, or and a bunch of other different, you know, a myriad of titles. But even now, I'm seeing that change. I mean, somebody posted something hilarious recently. They're like, okay, if you're in the bottom left half, you're going to die in a gulag. And if you die in the top right half, you're going to die of starvation. If you die over here, you were beat to death by a protester. And if you're down here, you're... you're shot with the bourgeois or something. And it's like, you know, that it was funny, obviously, because you're taking the worst of each. But at the same time, it's like, wow, that's I know some people right now that were commenting on that online and they're like, yeah, that's basically it. That's that's it right now. Do you see a recovery?
It's amazing it's amazing how many reasonable voices there still are when the populists and the demagogues are taken away just for a moment. And we kind of look at ourselves and we realize how ridiculous it's all gotten.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Micah, you know, we got to wrap up the show. I'd greatly appreciate your time. If people want to catch up with you on social media and check out your work at Being Libertarian and the Libertarian Republic, how can they do so?
Just look me up on Facebook, Micah J. Fleck. Should be easy enough to find for my profile. I have links to all my other outlets there.
Perfect. Micah, you know, great conversation, man. Greatly appreciated you coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, you heard him. You know, cooler heads have to come above all of this. And when you're having to face the decision between two terrible sides, you've got to come out as the voice of reason, even if you stand alone. And this is, you know, a scary place for all of us right now, no matter where you land, especially when violence is being used to, you know, create some type of social change, because that never ends well. This conversation is going to continue, and I can say so much more about it, but what's one thing you can do if you want to actually spark this conversation in your own community? Well, share the show. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Player FM,
and the Self-Defense Radio Network.
And if you can't find the app or network of your choice, go ahead and go to remsorepublic.com/podcast and find it from there. And if you could, help leave us a rating and review to help us grow the show. As always, be good to your neighbor. Go treat yourself for once. And, you know, go continue being awesome, America. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?